Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Kayla Hall.
It's a train wreck, not only inside healthcare, but outside of healthcare, with companies reducing the number of employees below 50.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell was in Moorhead today for a town hall meeting on the Federal Affordable Care Act. He doesn't like it.
Kentucky's Attorney General says he's concerned about the proposed Bluegrass Pipeline.
And Moorhead State University's freshman class has the best composite ACT score in the school's history.
In sports, the Reds look for their sixth straight win in Milwaukee tonight.
Bud Luke has a check of your business world.
Partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A House redistricting plan unveiled today by Democratic leaders would ensure that Rowan, Elliott, and Lewis counties would get a new state representative. The proposal would move the two men who currently represent Rowan County, Democrats Rocky Adkins and John Will Stacy, into other districts, where they would have to run against other incumbent Democrats. In Adkins' case, he would have to square off against Kevin Sinnett of Ashland in a new Boyd County-based district. Adkins now lives in Catlettsburg. Stacy, who is from West Liberty, would have to run against longtime Johnson County lawmaker Hubie Collins. State Representative Tommy Thompson of Davis County is a member of the House leadership team.
I'm confident that we're going to have a map that is constitutionally supported and constitutionally valid, and that we'll be able to get our work done in 5 days and have new districts relative for the 2014 election.
If the Democratic plan is adopted, there would be an open seat for a new House district composed of Rowan, Lewis, and Elliott counties. Three other open seats would also be created in other parts of the state. On the Republican side, incumbents would be pitted against each other in two districts. Representative Myron Doucette of Christian County would have to run against Ben Wade of Madisonville, and Representative Jim DeCesare of Rockfield would have to take on C.B. Embry of Butler County.
The president of the Kentucky Senate says when lawmakers meet next week to consider new boundaries for legislative districts, the Senate will not attempt to change the House map and vice versa. Republican Robert Stivers of Clay County says meddling in the affairs of the other chamber would accomplish nothing.
The House has to do what they're doing internally to determine their districts. We have to do it internally, and we really can't have us meddling in their business or them meddling in ours, because it would lead to an ultimate gridlock.
Stivers spoke during a press conference in Frankfort Thursday, during which Senate leaders unveiled their proposed legislative map. He says the Senate could receive the House plan as early as next Wednesday. House Democrats are introducing their proposal today.
U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell calls it a train wreck. The Kentucky Republican is referring to the national health care law, sometimes called Obamacare, which is scheduled to take effect next year. McConnell made the observation in Moorhead today after holding a town hall meeting on the issue at St. Clair Regional Medical Center.
To sum it up, it's catastrophic. I mean, part of the provision of the new law cut health care providers by $750 billion over the next 10 years. Hospitals, hospice, nursing homes, home health care, and the like. And, of course, the state made a decision to opt in to the newly eligible Medicaid patients.
McConnell says that means another 300,000 Kentuckians will be getting medical cards to use at hospitals that are having their reimbursement rates reduced. He claims the Affordable Care Act is bad medicine for the nation's economy.
The Commonwealth is ramping up its efforts to ensure more than 600,000 Kentuckians with health care coverage. A grand opening for the Xerox Call Center in Lexington is being held this afternoon. Some 60 agents are on hand taking calls about the state's health benefit exchange program. Carrie Banahan is the director of the exchange office.
They are actually taking phone calls from folks that are calling in asking questions about Connect. And through Connect, individuals will be able to apply for Medicaid as well as premium assistance, which will help them pay for part of their premium amount with the private health insurance company.
Open enrollment for the new insurance program begins in October. Banahan says some 70 calls came in Thursday, a day before the official launch of the call center.
Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles is hoping some economic development projects now in the works will help the nearly 150 employees of King's Daughters Medical Center whose jobs have been eliminated. The Boyd County Hospital announced the cuts Thursday, citing a declining volume of patients at the Ashland facility and insufficient reimbursement rates. Mayor Charles talked with WSAZ.
We're working on some projects now that could bring a new group of jobs within the city. You know, and I hope that we expedite that some of these individuals would be able to take advantage of.
Charles told the Huntington Station he can't be any more specific about the city's initiatives.
Ohio's unemployment rate held steady in July at 7.2%, matching what it was a year ago and remaining slightly higher than earlier in 2013. The state's seasonally adjusted jobless rate has varied only slightly since the beginning of the year. It has hovered below the U.S. unemployment rate, which dropped slightly to 7.4% for July. The Ohio Department of Job and Family Services says Ohio has had 416,000 unemployed workers last month, up about 3,000 in June. Non-farm wage and salary employment increased by 5,300, bringing good news a month after Ohio reported the second largest job loss for any state in June. The categories that added jobs in July include manufacturing, leisure and hospitality, trade, and transportation and utilities.
When it comes to agriculture, one growing season can't be considered an indicator of what's to come. Corn producers suffered through extreme drought conditions last year. Steady rains have fallen on many farms during March of 2013, and corn production is strong. In fact, University of Kentucky agricultural economist Will Snell says the per-acre yield could be three times higher than 2012. Still, Snell says it's not likely corn growers this year will see a lot more money in their pockets.
Well, last year, though the yields were considerably down for many of our crops, crop insurance was there as a safety net. So in aggregate, net farm income didn't suffer as much as a lot of people would have anticipated last year, just due to the fact that many of our farmers did have that security blanket with crop insurance.
Snell says high corn production in Kentucky, across the country, and even globally can work to drive down prices. But he says the abundance of corn will be welcome news for livestock farmers looking for grain for their cattle.
Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway says he doesn't believe the firm planning to build the Bluegrass Pipeline can acquire land through eminent domain. The Democrat made the comment Thursday in a speech at the governor's local issues conference in Louisville.
I don't think this private business that wants to backflow liquid gas back down toward the Gulf meets the definition of a utility. And only utilities have power of eminent domain. So off the cuff, without really a lot of research, that's my thought process.
Conway says he's still researching the issue and expects to be asked for an advisory opinion from the Kentucky Public Service Commission. He says if the pipeline to move natural gas liquids from the country's heartland to the Gulf of Mexico is built, it would have to come through Kentucky.
After a three-month investigation, authorities in Johnson County put over a dozen people behind bars in a drug roundup yesterday. Charges in the arrests vary from drug trafficking to the production of methamphetamine, with a total of 15 people arrested. Johnson County Sheriff Dwayne Price spoke with WYMT. He says he and his deputies weren't unfamiliar with those involved in the case.
The sad thing about it is we just had an overdose at one of these residences last week. And, you know, that's what we're trying to stop. We're trying to stop these senseless overdoses.
Price is optimistic about the improvement in his county, with 19 overdose deaths in 2011, but only 8 in 2012. He also adds most of these investigations stem from tips that come from the public, so he encouraged those to keep coming in.
People in Mingo County, West Virginia, are said to be shocked by allegations that a judge commandeered the legal system in a years-long attempt to frame a romantic rival for crimes he didn't commit. Federal prosecutors Thursday indicted Mingo County Circuit Judge Michael Thornsbury on two counts of conspiracy, just hours after indicting County Commissioner Dave Basin on extortion charges. The state Supreme Court has suspended Thornsbury and his law license, and a replacement judge is set to take over his caseload today. Both officials are free while awaiting trial. Mingo County's sheriff was assassinated in April.
Not only is Morehead State University's incoming freshman class the biggest in school history, the group also checks with MSU's best-ever composite ACT score. The 1,700 newcomers averaged a score of 22.2 on the nationally recognized college entrance exam, and that's up slightly from last year's figure of around 22. Jeffrey Lyles is Morehead State's Assistant Vice President for Enrollment Services.
It's definitely great news and unusual news whenever your quantity of anything increases at the same time the quality increases. And so having more students and having more better students is a great thing. So that means, you know, this is not just about getting as many students as we can. It's about serving students and helping them be successful and making sure they're prepared when they start.
As a whole, Kentucky students earned an average ACT score of 19.8. The national average was 21.1. Maine's students led the nation by scoring an average of 23.5 on their ACTs.
Residents of Morehead's Wilson Avenue have determined they don't have the need for speed. They say people are regularly driving well over the posted 20-mile-an-hour speed limit on the narrow thoroughfare, creating a dangerous situation for their children. They want the city to put speed bumps on the street, but Mayor David Perkins says that solution isn't legal. Perkins says a group has been formed to find other possible measures for fixing the problem.
A committee of three council members and some of the parents that are going to research our options and see what they can come up with as far as suggestions. Well, if we put speed humps in, then I'm sure there's going to be a handful of people that are unhappy with that. You can't make everybody happy all the time. That's the way life is.
Perkins says speed humps, which have a more gradual slope than speed bumps, could be installed on Wilson Avenue, but he worries those speed humps could create their own set of dangers, especially for those driving the city's snowplows.
An eastern Kentucky city is struggling to make ends meet, and MSPR's Caleb Noe has that story.
According to the Ashland Independent, the city of Wortland is looking to cut one of the two operators at its wastewater treatment plant in order to keep the facility running. Under current conditions, the city only has the funds to keep the plant in service for 7 more months. The city also owes nearly $2 million to the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority for a pair of outstanding loans. Wortland's financial woes were aggravated earlier this year when the Sun Chemical Pigment Plant closed. The facility shut down in February and owes the city nearly $300,000 for its sewer services. The treatment plant's deficit is projected to be about $160,000 by the end of the fiscal year. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Caleb Noe.
Thousands of people are again expected to relive some Kentucky history this weekend at Blue Lick State Resort Park near Mount Olivet. Program Services Supervisor Paul Tierney says all weekend long they'll be commemorating the Battle of Blue Licks, which took place more than 230 years ago. He says that while Kentucky hadn't yet become a state during the American Revolution, it still saw conflict.
Essentially, everything gravitated towards this area, and it kind of culminated in the summer of 1782 with the Battle of Blue Licks, in which 182 pioneer settlers engaged an overwhelming force of British loyalists and American Indians.
Among the 70 pioneers that died in the battle was Israel Boone, the youngest son of frontier legend Daniel Boone. In addition to battle reenactments, the weekend includes trail walks, stage shows, plus food and craft vendors. Admission is free. Additional information is available at parks.ky.gov.
And finally today, St. Clair Regional Medical Supply is having its fourth anniversary celebration sale tomorrow. The Morehead Hospital's Director of Marketing and Public Relations is Valerie Campbell. She says it's an opportunity to show people that the store in the Kroger Shopping Center offers more than just medicine.
A lot of folks think that we just sell medical supplies, but we actually sell things for everyday healthy living. And so we want to open up and be able to put a few things on sale for our customers who've been great to us over the last 4 years. And like I said, a chance for them to come in and see more than just the medical side of things.
Campbell says some of the other things being sold at a discount Saturday include lift chairs, shoes, and scrubs. She says the event starts at 11 a.m.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Carter, Martin, and Nicholas. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Saturday, partly cloudy, isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 80. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with isolated showers, lows in the lower 60s. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain is 50%. It's 85 degrees in Ashland, 77 in Flemingsburg, 81 in Winchester, 79 in Lexington, 89 is, and 79 degrees in Moorhead.
The time is 4:45. You're tuned into Mountain Edition here on this glorious Friday afternoon. I'm Joshua Grandison here with Kayla Hall, and it's good to have your company. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Moorhead State University professor, Dr. John Modaff. He has some thoughts on government in the age of the Internet.
Well, we're out here by the highway again, watching the world go by, reflecting on the extraordinary comments by our new Secretary of State, John Kerry, earlier this week as he spoke at the State Department, illustrating how strangely some people look at freedom. Mr. Kerry is quoted by a range of reliable sources as having said that the Internet has made it, quote, much harder to govern, close quote. Of all the awful things that have been said about that great matrix of connections we call the Internet, the complaint that it makes people harder to govern has got to be at once the most disgusting and most entertaining. And that the Secretary of State of the United States is saying this makes it all the more inviting for analysis. Think about it. Why would SOS John Kerry want people to have less freedom to communicate? Why would he see increased access to information, lower gatekeeping, easier corroboration and collaboration, raw video, audio, photographs, direct quotations, indexing, word searches, original research reports, detailed polling data, and on and on? Why would a man just a couple of heart attacks from the presidency of the world's greatest champion for freedom complain about the Internet? Well, if it were just John Kerry making a speech before tossing some military medals across a fence in D.C., we could smirk and then get back to what matters, like Oprah's battle with some country whose name starts with S. But he is one of our top people. He replaced Hillary Clinton, for goodness sakes. He matters. And when anyone with that much power starts talking so openly about how the Internet gets in the way of governing, look out. We all need to enjoy while we can this thing that makes it difficult for John Kerry to govern. I cannot think of anything that should be more desirable to Americans. So, attempts to control, narrow down, filter, censor, silence, and kill switch the Internet, well, all of that should be considered a personal insult to our freedom. The Internet is our library, and right now any one of us can walk in and read just about anything there is. Well, we now see the beginning of the end. The chain of what will pass for reasoning will go like this. The Internet makes it difficult to govern. People desire and even desperately need governing. We cannot govern people who use resources that make governing difficult. Therefore, let us control this difficult thing so people can be kept safe and secure from themselves and their own thoughts. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is an associate professor of speech at Moorhead State University. Jay Scott has been keeping a check of your sports world, and he's up after a quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, glass bottles and jars, books, newspapers, magazines, and mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Just keep winning is the motto for the Reds. Good evening, reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chase Scott. After winning eight of their last nine games, the Cincinnati Reds are on what some may call a hot streak, and they're looking to continue that success tonight in Milwaukee against the Brew Crew. The Reds managed to squeak out a 2-1 win last night, with big thanks going to first baseman Joey Votto, who went yard in the sixth inning to break a 1-1 tie. The Red Legs also received some big help from catcher Devin Mesoraco. He was 2-for-4 at the plate and made a spectacular diving catch on a failed bunt attempt. And the bench boss, Dusty Baker, says Mesoraco grew up a little bit as a major leaguer last night.
Well, I mean, you know, he plays hard and he comes to play. And I don't know if it's a breakout game or not. It's just a game of his maturity. I mean, he really you know, he always hustles. He always plays hard. It's good for his confidence. It's a big part of the game, in a close game, and in their ballpark.
The Reds have managed to gain some ground in the NL Central with their recent success. They trail the Cardinals for second place by a half game and the Pirates for the top spot by 2.5 games. First pitch tonight is set for 8:10. Charlie Manuel has been fired as manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, with his team out of the pennant race and in a tailspin since the All-Star break. Manuel was replaced by Hall of Fame and former Cubs second baseman Ryan Sandberg, the Phillies' third base coach. The team says Sandberg will take over beginning with tonight's game against the first-place Los Angeles Dodgers. The 69-year-old Manuel has been the Phillies' manager since the beginning of the 2005 season. The Lexington Legends will look to turn things around tonight in Greenville as they take on the Drive. The Legends are currently riding a 5-game losing streak, but will have 2-3 Crawford Simmons on the bump tonight. The Drive will counter with Luis Diaz, who holds on to a 7-4 record. First pitch is slated for 7:05. According to Hoop Scoop Online, Morehead State's Sean Woods is one of the nation's up-and-coming men's college basketball coaches. Woods is 14th on the website's list of rising bench bosses. Woods says that's a nice compliment, but right now he's focused on getting his players started in conditioning drills next week, which he calls a key building block as the Eagles prepare for their 2013-2014 campaign.
The way we do things, you know, conditioning is big. You know, we got to be one of the best conditioned teams in the country, you know, to play our style of play.
In his first season at MSU, Woods led the Eagles to a 15-18 record, including an 8-8 OVC mark. For the third time since last season ended, Morehead State women's basketball coach Tom Hodges finds himself in a need of an assistant coach. Hodges had to fill vacancies created earlier this summer after Eric White and Nikki Davis left MSU. He now needs to replace lead assistant Lacey Goldwire, who is leaving the Eagles for a job at the University of Iowa. Hodges says Goldwire's departure means a promotion for one of his new staff members.
We were very fortunate to hire someone who had already been in that spot previously, and Mark Cost. Mark had been associate head coach and interim head coach at Coastal Carolina over the past several years. So for that regard, we really lucked out to hire somebody of his credential.
Hodges also hired Sarah Jones this summer. He hopes to fill his latest vacancy in the next couple of weeks. For the first time in the Mark Stoops era at the helm of the Wildcat football program, he has shown a bit of disappointment towards his team. Coming out of morning practice today, Coach Stoops was not a happy camper as he said the Wildcats were lacking mental and physical focus. He had some harsh words to say to the media about his team after their lack of effort on the field.
Very poor day, to be honest with you. Very frustrated. Had to start certain segments over again today. Just very weak mentally, physically. Just very average day. I was not happy, let's put it that way. And it's just, like I said, I just you know, we got to have some more pride about what we do. We got to have some more leadership. We got to have some more toughness. And we didn't have any of that today.
On the bright side for the Cats, they do have the evening practice to redeem themselves as they prepare to open up with Western Kentucky on August 31st in Nashville. The OVC's defending regular champs, Morehead State, has been picked to finish second behind Belmont in the East Division this fall in the league's preseason poll. MSU coach Jamie Gordon says his players aren't concerning themselves with that stuff, noting they're focused on taking this season one step at a time.
It's a journey. Even the goals that we set, we really don't call them goals, we call them destinations. And really the true goals that we established throughout preseason and throughout the season is all on process. It's goals on getting better and creating strengths and minimizing weaknesses.
Senior outside hitter Aaron Bohannon is on the OVC's preseason all-conference squad. And finally, Morehead State soccer coach Warren Lipka will get his first real look at his team this weekend. The Eagles have an exhibition match Sunday at 1 p.m. at Jane Stadium against Western Kentucky. Lipka notes the Hilltoppers will be one of several strong teams that MSU will face before starting OVC play September 29th at Jacksonville State.
We have an extremely tough schedule. I don't know who did that. Oh, yeah, that was me. You know, I just pride myself. I've been doing this thing for 30 years. almost now. It's just, I really believe that playing a tough schedule is what people want to do.
The MSU soccer team's early season gauntlet includes the likes of Ohio State, West Virginia, Louisville, Akron, Ohio, and Xavier. That's a look into the world of sports. Have a great weekend. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Chase Scott.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. More information on single game or season tickets is available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks finished slightly lower in lackluster trading, extending their losses for a third straight session. Major indices posted their first back-to-back weekly losses since late June. And, of course, today's trading was not really affected by any real significant market news, nor was there any really significant economic news, but continued worries over the Federal Reserve and the possibility of tapering at their September meeting continues to dominate most market action. And the Dow Industrials did finish the week with a loss today of 30.72 at 15,081.47. The S&P 500 was down 5.49 at 1655.83, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 3.34 at 3602.78. New York Stock Exchange of Breath was 19-10 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Gold was up 0.7%, while oil was up about 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury note rose to 2.86%, touching a fresh two-year high in terms of its yield, as, again, continued worries about Fed action very much affecting the bond market. In economic news, the Consumer Sentiment Index slipped to 80 in August from 85.1 in July, according to Thomson Reuters University of Michigan, and the reading missed expectations for 85.5. That was the number expected by most economists. And housing starts rose 5.9% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 896,000 units in July, according to the Commerce Department, which was less than the expected 900,000 unit rate that had been expected going into the report. Although the housing numbers were reasonably healthy, in the opinion of many analysts, and most home builders, including Pulte and D.R. Horton, gained following the report. And also, non-farm productivity rose in the second quarter at a 0.9% annual rate as output increased more than hours worked, according to the Labor Department. Economists polled by Reuters had expected productivity to gain at a 0.6% rate. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 15 cents at 88.17, CSX unchanged at 25.16, AEP down 47 cents at 43.31, AK Steel down 5 cents at 3.47, Marathon Petroleum down 67 cents at 70, and Apple was up $4.42 to finish at 502.33. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a look at the area weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy, lows in the upper 50s. Saturday partly cloudy, isolated showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 80. Saturday night mostly cloudy with isolated showers, lows in the lower 60s. In Ashland it's 85 degrees, 77 in Flemingsburg, 81 in Winchester, 79 in Lexington, 80 degrees in Inez, and it is 79 degrees in Morehead.
And that wraps it up for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Moraz, Tanner Boyd, Chase Scott, Caleb Noe, Asaho Soda, and as always, Dan Conti. MSU professor Dr. John Modaff provided our feature segment for this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Kayla Hall and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. The time is 5 o'clock.